been getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are listening to 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh, and streaming online at wrct.org.
I'm sure you're familiar with the kind of necktie parties we hold out here in the West. And the kind where the horse runs from underneath the guest of honor is the kind I like the best. And the side ain't rumored to be very pretty to see a man hang from a tree. Everybody except me. I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. I came to this town almost 15 years ago, and I've been here since that time. But it's just been past 5 years or so that I've had this job of mine. 4 or 5 years ago, some outlaws killed my wife and children. That had its effect on my mind. So when the sheriff offered me the dreaded job of hangman, I said, that suits me fine. Now I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. Care what you hear from some prophet or some preacher, 'cause I know that revenge is sweet. And I can't help but grin at every single outlaw when all of a sudden there's no horse under his feet. And you probably think I'm strange, you might think that I'm disgusting, but it's my job, I handle it with pride. I've nothing left to live for since the passing of my family. My heart died with them, so did my mind. Now I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty.
Now I never was one to worry much. I never could find the Midas touch. I take what comes and do my best, and don't worry about the rest. I'll never become a millionaire. No fancy cars, no Perrier. I wake each day with a smile on my face, and I join the human race. Tomorrow comes another chance. It might just be my day. But either way, you won't hear me whine, 'cause to win, you gotta play. I carry my needs in an old mill sack, and worries slide right off my back. Even Uncle Sam don't make me sweat.
sweat, and when it rains, I get wet.
Every kind of music. cards were marked, and I lost my shirt to a dirty card shark, and I'm busted. Doggone it, I'm busted. And my baby ain't gonna cut me no slack when I come home without the shirt from my back. Looks like I'm gonna be sleeping alone again. Well, I'm walking down the street just kicking a can, holding my last dollar in my right hand. This ain't turned out how I'd planned. At least I got a dollar and a kicking can.
It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. My days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. And life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun's setting low, pull out my fiddle and I'm rosin' up the bow. Kids are sweet, so I keep them kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play Sally Gooden all day if I could, but the Lord and my wife wouldn't think it very good. So I fiddle when I can and I work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine life, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Rather have a fiddle and my farming tools. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah, city folk driving in a black limousine. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty keen. Well, son, let me tell you now exactly what I mean. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Till the day he died, and he took me by the hand, held me close to his side. Said, live a good life, play my fiddle with pride. Thank God you're a country boy. Well, my daddy taught me young how to hunt and how to whittle. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. He taught me how to love and how to give just a little. And thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. I'm a country boy, yes!
always did. I left home at 13, not realizing my mistake. That's what the cowboys did. Grew into a man on the wrong end of the law. Young men, they called me kid. Most of my time was spent doing nothing at all, 'cause that's what the cowboys did.
Like you used to be. you
takes 6 seconds or the length of 2 football fields for a large truck traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. Never cut in front of an 18-wheeler for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. My name is Aubriana Bench, and I'm joined by my oldest brother, Andrew Bench. Today we'll be looking at a smaller borough located a few miles north of Pittsburgh called Westview Borough. Andrew and I both grew up in Westview, and being history nerds, have learned quite a bit about it. But I wanted to bring Andrew today because he has some special experience with the borough. So, Andrew, I already introduced you, but go ahead and tell us what you do right now.
Well, right now I work for the Allegheny County Health Department doing clerical work. But before I was at the county, I worked for Westview Borough for about 6 years. And while I was at Westview, I was an administrative assistant, but I was also their archivist. So one of the things that I did was I was tasked with digitizing Westview's archives. And it's a pretty small borough in terms of size, but over 100 and something years, you generate a lot of paperwork. And legally, the borough and any municipality for that matter has to keep certain documents, and they wanted to have a copy of them digitally in case something ever were to happen. So through that work, I became well acquainted with Westview's history, and I even started giving presentations at my alma mater, or our alma mater, North Hills High School. I give local history presentations from time to time. Very passionate about Pittsburgh history in general.
So let's go to the beginning of Westview. How far back does it go? Do we go to the 1700s or like?
Well, I mean, you can't tell the history of any place in America without first acknowledging the fact that we're all on land that once was used by Native Americans. So prior to any European settlement, there were many Native American tribes that were living in what is now Pittsburgh. As European settlers started to arrive and as they pushed farther west, this forced a lot of Native American tribes into this area in particular. This was called the Ohio Country in the 1700s, and it was considered the frontier. Pittsburgh was at the westernmost part of the frontier. And so Westview's history goes back to that. There's a guy by the name of Caspar Real who in the 1790s, I believe it was 1795, he was given land for his service in the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. And that land is the bulk of what Westview is today. So he was given this land, and at first he couldn't use it because there were the threat of Native American attacks. Eventually, after the Battle of Fallen Timbers in Toledo, Ohio today, it pushed the Native Americans out of the Ohio country, and he was able to settle, and he built a log cabin, which is still there in Westview. It is one of the oldest structures in southwestern Pennsylvania, It's actually a residential property to this day. It was turned into a weird house, hybrid cabin thing. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. So that's where Westview Sister really starts with Casper Real. Eventually what happens is in the early 1800s, a group of settlers come together and they petition the courts to create Ross Township. Ross Township is partitioned from Pine Township. Pine Township is Wexford today. Ross Township is created, and for 100 years, Westview is just a vague name of an area within Ross Township. It's not until 1905 that a guy by the name of Frederick Martzoff gets the idea to build a community. He was a land developer. He had built houses across the United States, and he came to the Westview area and was so enamored by it that he bought 700 acres and decided to build a community there. And so really, it's because when Europeans arrived, that's what they started using as well. And so a lot of the roads today are where the trails used to be, including Perry Highway.
So circling back to Westview, or going back into that area, let's go back to when the Martzoff guy, you said early 1900s, when was it, when he passed away?
He died in 1907.
Okay. So wasn't it around that time when Westview Park first started or was founded? Mm-hmm. And that was a major thing for Westview, right?
Yeah, Westview Park was actually, it opened in 1906. So it basically existed as long as Westview had. Westview is incorporated in 1905, and then the park opens a year later. So as you can imagine, the park became an integral part of Westview. I mean, for 70 plus years, that was the heart of Westview. In terms of business and bringing people in to the area.
So because it was such a critical part of Westview, whenever it started, because you and I both know about when Westview Park started its downfall, but do you want to enlighten listeners on what happened with Westview Park? And
do you just want me to give you an overview?
Yeah,
of Westview
just
Park?
Give an overview, because there were a lot of parks in the area where this kind of started happening, except for, as a lot of people know, Kennywood, which is still open. But
well, first, I will say I'm not the foremost expert on amusement parks. There is a guy, a Pittsburgh local named Mike Funyak, who wrote a very good book on Westview Park. So anybody who wants a deeper understanding of the park, I would check out his book called It's Westview Park, the T.M. Harton Story. But at the turn of the century, the early 1900s, these parks were really popular. There were dozens of them all over. There were many in the Pittsburgh area. They're some of the more notable ones are Westview Park, there's Luna Park, Kennywood. And it's because that's, at the time, that's what people were doing for fun. These parks were, I would argue that they thrived for two reasons. One, you may have heard Kennywood referred to as a picnic park before. It's because it was built on what was a picnic ground. And then the park, they would encourage people to bring your families, bring a picnic, and then go ride things at the park. Westview Park is the same. It started as a picnic park, the land was purchased, and then it became a picnic park where they would encourage families to come, bring food, and then ride things. You also have to remember that early amusement parks, you're not buying a ticket, and then you can ride anything. You're paying per ride. So individual companies would have rides at these parks, and they would collect some of the revenue from people. So they're obviously, these people want to build cool rides, so people come ride their ride. That's the whole thing behind Westview Park. So it's a picnic park. The other important thing is that it's situated at the end of a trolley line. Back in the day, we had a much more robust public transportation system, and you could actually take a trolley from anywhere in the greater Pittsburgh area to Westview Park. It ended right at Westview Park, the trolley line. So anybody could get there, and that was a huge, huge advantage for the park. People could easily get there. When the park's created in 1906, a guy named T.M. Harton, he's the one that creates it. He's already a successful businessman. He manufactures and operates amusement park rides. So he already has a company, and he does so well that he says, shoot, why don't I just make a park and I'll put my own rides in the park? And so that's what he did. He's a Pittsburgh native as well. He picks Westview as the spot for this park. And Westview Park is there from 1906 to 1977. By, within 10, 20 years of Westview Park being created, it's the only park in the area besides Kennywood. So for most of the 1900s, the only two amusement parks in this area in Pittsburgh are Kennywood and Westview Park. And they didn't really compete with each other because they're far enough away from each other that their crowds aren't necessarily picking one over the other. So they existed, you know, just fine with each other.
Is there any reason why Westview kind of started seeing a downfall? Was it 50s or...
60s. So again, if you talk to some of the older residents in Pittsburgh, they'll often, you might hear, oh, well, Westview Park couldn't compete with Kennywood. Not true. They weren't really seeking to steal each other's customers. Westview Park is about 18 acres, but that's it. If you go to the Westview Shopping Center, honestly, even until they closed, their attendance wasn't bad. It just didn't continue to go up. Part of what happened, they couldn't expand anymore. That meant they couldn't put new rides in to attract potential new visitors. The other thing that happens is in 1973, there's a fire. Westview Park has a dance hall called Danceland, and Danceland was a huge spot where young Pittsburghers would go. A lot of people, older people in Pittsburgh, actually met their spouse at Danceland. It was a big deal. You'd go and listen to live music and dance. Well, that burns down in 1973, and they don't rebuild it. And that was one of the nails in their coffin. They just, as attendance faltered, they weren't able to keep up with the newest innovations, and so the park slowly declined. But even in its final year, 1977, attendance was not bad, but it wasn't great.
Kind of like a
slow decline. It was just a gradual decline, I'd say, from about the mid-60s to...
messed up Westview, or kind of put Westview into a hard spot towards the end of the 20th century?
Well, yes, short answer. There's a couple... I'm an avid Pittsburgh historian. So, Pittsburgh becomes a steel manufacturing hub. And up until the 1960s... Oh, that's another thing I didn't mention. The population of Pittsburgh in the 50s and 60s... come around. A lot of steel jobs are leaving Pittsburgh. And so there is a gradual decline of Pittsburgh's and the surrounding area's population. So Pittsburgh peaked at over 600,000 people. It wasn't until the 2020 census that we actually stopped losing population. We've steadied out at about 330,000, I believe. So we have half of our peak. So you have less people living in the area. Westview is a picnic park, and so people would have school picnics, company picnics, union picnics at the park. Well, less jobs, less steel companies, steel plants, less picnics, less population. And by the time Westview Park closes, the steel industry is almost entirely gone. By the early 80s, Pittsburgh is at one of its lowest points in terms of jobs. And Westview not only has less of a population, but they now lose one of the biggest draws to the borough. The park had existed as long as Westview had existed, and so for that park to suddenly close, the borough kind of has an identity crisis. You know, it's like you're born with your right hand, and then all of a sudden your right hand's gone the next day. That would be pretty bad. I mean, that's kind of how I think of it. They existed together for so long. And so Westview does experience a little bit of a decline in terms of population. And even today, I would argue Westview, I'm biased because I work there and live there, but they do a really good job at maintaining their public services, paving the roads, keeping the parks and the borough looking really nice. I'd say they're exceptional because I've been in a lot of municipalities in Pittsburgh. But the one thing that they've struggled with is getting good local businesses back in the borough. And that's a problem that a lot of municipalities face. How do you attract people to do business in your municipality? And there have been a few new businesses that have opened up in Westview in the past 10 or so years. There's a great Italian restaurant near our house, Severina.
Coffee shop.
There's a new coffee shop that just opened. So there are things happening in Westview. But there was a decline, and I don't think it was Westview's fault. I think it was just the trends of what was happening in the greater Pittsburgh area, coupled with the fact that Westview Park closed. Yeah, I mean, that's going to cause a decline.
What would you like to see in the future of Westview? Do you think there's anything that could fix? I mean, well, maybe it doesn't need to be fixed, but what do you think? Up the population, bring back Westview Park.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know that Westview needs to be fixed. I think it's a very nice place to live.
A good place to live.
Yeah, their motto is a good place to live. It is. It truly is. I enjoyed growing up there. I enjoyed working there. I think the thing that would help Westview the most is making it an attractive place for people to come to, whether it's restaurants or various businesses that are there, make people want to come to Westview, and also continue maintaining the public services so that new people want to move in. That's the only way you're going to get more people coming in, is keeping it attractive. And I think that they are doing a really good job at that. Westview is certainly a place that I wouldn't mind going back to live in one day. It is pretty small. It's only about a square mile, so that, you know, there's a limited number of houses. But I think those are the two biggest things, is attracting more businesses and continuing to maintain the level of services so that people want to live there. I think, yeah.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you think would be worth touching on?
Oh, geez. I don't know, like what?
Oh, man. What's one of your favorite things in terms of Westview or Pittsburgh history to talk about?
I talked about it earlier. I find it very interesting how it was settled, why it was settled, the Venango Trail, mm-hmm. people moving north. The early history of Pittsburgh around the French and Indian War, Revolutionary War period is really cool. The Fort Pitt Museum has a really cool exhibition going on where it focuses on the early history of Pittsburgh, in particular, conflicts with Native Americans. I find that very interesting. And in terms of Pittsburgh in general, I think it's very fascinating how Pittsburgh has gone from a filthy, disgusting, horrible place to live in terms of environmental health, and through the efforts of various figures over the decades, we have turned that around and become more than just a steel city. In fact, Pittsburgh today would be unrecognizable to somebody living during the Gilded Age. There's healthcare here, tech, higher education, like Carnegie Mellon. So the fact that Pittsburgh was able to pivot itself and turn it into something new, you don't always see that with cities. There are still cities that are struggling to get their footing after losing a major industry. You know, take Detroit, for example, or, you know, Cleveland. Pittsburgh is unique in that way. It's unique in a lot of ways, but I think the fact that we've continued to be a cool place to live, it's pretty neat. And I think we're unique in that regard. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What key figures?
The Pittsburgh Renaissance. David L. Lawrence, who was the mayor, and then I believe it was Richard Mellon III. I'm going to have to fact check myself, but those two figures are responsible for reshaping Pittsburgh, cleaning up the city. The convention center is named after him for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the school is named after the Mellon family, so those two figures. I should also mention that I used to work at the Frick, and so I know a lot of my other interest is Pittsburgh during the Gilded Age. But that's a whole other topic.
I'm doing that topic in my environmental history class right now.
It's very interesting.
I have learned that it might not... There is some... You can put Pittsburgh cleaning up on legislation, but it was actually mostly the cause of natural gas coming into the city. And more Pittsburghers using natural gas to power their homes.
That makes sense.
Instead of coal. Yeah, but anyways... It is short, but is there anything else you want to add before we finish out?
Check out Westview Borough's website, specifically the history section, because yours truly wrote it, and I'm very proud of it. Because, you know, 6 years ago when I first started there was not a whole lot, and now you could actually go research it. And one of the highest compliments that I ever received from working at Westview was I got letters from elementary school kids, and they said that they loved the website and they were doing a project on Westview Park, and could I please send them pictures and information? And that was awesome, because that's what it's there for.
Yes.
Not for the glory. My information should be accessible.
Yes.
So yeah, check out Westview's website. There's a lot of really cool photos and things from the archives on their website still.
There are some really cool pictures of Westview Park during its peak.
It would have been fun.
After, yeah.
I wish I could have experienced it. I'm sorry, not much of a Kennywood guy.
This is Aubriana Bench. I'm interviewing Andrew Bench.
WRCT.
Thank you for coming in, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
I'll see you at home later tonight. All right.
Fine.
Bye.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to PA@wrct.org.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog with an important message. Before you think about buying counterfeit products, think again. You're smart, buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I was elected as a democratic socialist and I-